Welcome to the Ideas Lab Predictor podcast from the University of Birmingham. In each edition, we hear from an expert in a different field who gives us insider information on key trends, upcoming events, and what they think the near future holds.
We're here today with Dr. Francis Pope, who is a lecturer and a Birmingham Fellow here at the University of Birmingham. Hello, Francis.
Hello, thanks for having me.
So, can you tell us a bit more about what you do here at the University of Birmingham?
Okay, so my research is predominantly focused on aerosol microphysics and chemistry. So aerosols are small particles which reside in the atmosphere. Now, what I focus on is two of their applications, one of which I'll talk about today, which is geoengineering. The other thing I'm interested in is bioaerosols, but maybe we'll leave that for another day.
So what is geoengineering?
Okay, so geoengineering is this idea that to counteract the negative impacts of climate change, we can do something to the Earth system to make it cooler or to reduce the radiation. So there's lots of different options, and we should be careful to make a generalisation or a broad generalisation between the two different types of geoengineering to start off with. So there's something called carbon dioxide removal, which, as the name suggests, this is processes which pull carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere. So this might be something like planting more trees or sucking CO2 into machines which turn it into something solid, something like that. And so that's the less controversial side. The more controversial side is something called solar radiation management. And this, rather than removing the CO2, is trying to reduce the temperature by removing some of the radiation coming down. And so essentially all these techniques, one way or the other, act like a mirror. So we can think about if we painted the whole world white, it would be more reflective and would lose a lot of the radiation back out to space. So that would cool it down. Not very practical, but you can see where I'm going. And so the particular version of solar radiation management that I'm interested in, and this is because it seems to be the most likely to succeed at this moment in time, is something called the stratospheric injection of aerosols. And this mimics volcanoes, in essence, big stratospheric volcanoes. So the last big volcano was Mount Pinatubo in the Philippines in 1991. And this injected, I think it was about 30 megatons of material into the stratosphere. And so again, these are these small particles, which I talked about earlier. And these reflect sunlight. And so what you saw after Pinatubo was for about 1 or 2 years, there was actually a definite degree of cooling. So about half a degree of cooling. So we know from this natural analogue that the technique should work. Now the challenge is, can we now make this technique work in the atmosphere? I mean, is it feasibly possible? Could we get this much aerosol up there without the use of a volcano? Would it be effective? Would it be safe? Should we do it? And these are the sort of questions I'm interested in.
So there's been no attempt to do this at all so far. It's just been recorded from volcano activity,
yeah,
essentially.
Absolutely no attempt to try and do this. I mean, there'd be a massive outcry if such a thing was attempted. And nor is the technology ready yet to be able to do it. And one of the troubles with the Earth system is, it's one of the central problems with the environment, is that there's only one Earth. And so we don't have a spare Earth to practice on. But the trouble is, to see if it works, you'd need a big enough experiment to get a signal above the natural variation in the weather, as opposed to climate. And so we have to do lots of modelling tests, lots of laboratory tests. And maybe in the future, once we're certain that these things work, we might think more about doing a limited field test. But I mean, that really is in the distance at the moment.
So the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change have just released an AR5 report. Mm-hmm. I know I don't know much about this report, but why is it significant?
So this report is the State of a Nation address on climate change. You know, there's hundreds upon hundreds of international scientists reach a consensus on what the state of the science is for climate change at the moment. And the state of the science is pretty much as people would have expected, that it is getting warmer, ice caps are melting, ocean is warming, etc. And these sort of things that have been in the news for a couple of years now. But maybe one of the more controversial aspects of this report is that it did actually mention geoengineering for the first time. So it had in its summary, it was only a paragraph in about a 20-page document, but it did mention geoengineering, which I think shows that geoengineering is now being taken very seriously. by governments and scientists alike. And certainly there's no consensus on whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, and there's certainly a lot of disagreement, and people get very excited about this on either side of the argument. But I think its occurrence in this report shows that we're going to be hearing a lot more about geoengineering over the next few years.
So what does that mean for your research? I assume that's a positive thing, isn't it?
Yes, I guess people are interested in geoengineering, and so my work, which in particular is on the environmental impacts of geoengineering, not so much on geoengineering itself, but that will shed more light on my research, and potentially more funding will come my way with any luck. So I should clarify, from my what I'm interested in my research is the environmental impacts of geoengineering, and in particular, stratospheric conjecture of aerosols. So we know that these aerosols will cool the climate. That has been shown nicely through volcanoes and modelling work. I think that's fairly undoubtable now. But what I'm interested in is what's the side effects of this process. So will there be other processes which will be changed by injecting these aerosols up there? And remember, we're not talking about small amounts. We're talking about a lot of stuff. And so it's already known that ozone destruction can occur upon aerosols. And so that's something that we might expect to happen more if we're increasing the stratospheric burden of aerosol. So usually the stratosphere is a fairly pristine place. If there's no volcanic activity, there's not many particles up there. After volcanic eruptions, you get a big burst of aerosols. But for this geoengineering scheme, what it means is you'll constantly have a lot of aerosols up there. And in that case, does this mean we're going to constantly have more ozone destruction? And so the mechanisms responsible for this ozone destruction is something I'm looking into. Something else I'm interested in is, so volcanoes release sulfuric acid in effect. That's what comes out of them. They release sulfur dioxide, and this becomes oxidized and creates particles of sulfuric acid. And so sulfuric acid is the natural chemical, but it's not the nicest chemical by any means. So one open question is there something better we could put up there? Is, for example, is there something like a mineral dust, something like deserts are made out of? Could you put silica up there? Could you put alumina up there? Could you put titania up there? And potentially the good thing about these particles is that they actually, pound for pound, reflect more light. So you might be able to get away with putting less up there. Plus, you might have less reactivity up there. And these are the kind of questions I'm looking at. So I'm looking at the atmospheric chemistry of not only sulfuric acid aerosol, but also possible other minerals which could be used instead of the sulfuric acid.
So it's a sort of large discovery of different things that you could send up.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you've mentioned ozone depletion. Are there any other negatives to this?
Yeah, and some of them known, and undoubtedly some of them not known at the moment. So remember, we're trying to adapt a very complex system. So the Earth, you know, there's multiple feedbacks. It is incredibly complicated. And what we're doing is a very brute force experiment. We're putting a lot of things up in the air. And so there undoubtedly will be unforeseen circumstances. And so one of my jobs is to really try and work out all the possible unforeseen stuff that we can. But undoubtedly some things will slip through, and we've got to be very careful about these and kind of the unknown unknowns. Things that we do know which will happen is if we put something up there, it will come down eventually. So there will be health effect, probably. So, you know, there possibly might be ecotoxicology stuff. So if you push something up there, it will fall on the ground, it will leach into the rivers, etc. So we do have to be wary of creating problems like that. But potentially, or probably undoubtedly, the biggest problem with this is we're not removing the CO2 in the first place. So what we're doing is the one analogy is the sticking plaster, or maybe more precisely, we're trying to buy a bit of time whilst the world decarbonizes its economy. But we're not removing CO2, so things like ocean acidification are still going to be going on. Yes, we might be reducing the temperature by reducing the sunlight, but the CO2 is still there. And so we have to think about not only what's the implications of having this additional sulfate layer or aerosol layer in the stratosphere, but we also have to think of what the implications are of continuing CO2 levels in the troposphere or in the atmosphere as a whole.
So it seems like we're going to be hearing a lot more about geoengineering as the time goes on. But that's all for now. So Dr. Francis Pope, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
This podcast and others in the series are available on the Ideas Lab website, www.ideaslabuk.com. There's also information on the free support Ideas Lab has to offer to TV and radio producers, new media producers and journalists.